Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode. Technology should drive down patient costs. It should increase case acceptance. It should decrease the amount of time it takes to get started and the amount of time it takes to get finished. And it should increase practice profits.
We've been misled to believe that dentistry, more specifically the dental business, has to be complicated. Dentistry can be simple, and dentistry should be simple.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another week and another episode of the Dentistry Made Simple podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Tarun Agarwal, and as almost always,
90%,
I'm joined by the lovely co-host, Meredith Cooper-Jones.
Hello,
and
everyone.
I have a couple of public service announcements.
Okay.
If you aren't aware, Meredith has teamed up with Aubrey and started their own podcast called The Dental Diaries.
Right, because who doesn't want to go home at night and write in their dental diary?
Well, I'd rather listen to it as a podcast. But listen, it is specifically designed for your team members. So you can do us a favor and go on your podcast app, search The Dental Diaries, find that, click the share button, and text it to all of your team members. I would love nothing more than that podcast to have more subscribers and more downloads than this podcast, because there are way more team members than dentists. And my second public service announcement is really an ask, kind of like the first one, is we really need some Apple podcast reviews from you. They're getting stale. It's been a little bit of time. And even if you've left one before, leave another one. 5 stars if you can. Be honest if you must. But leave us an Apple podcast review. We are really trying to make a really big push on growing our podcast. And then public service announcement number 3, we have an amazing YouTube channel, YouTube 3D Dentists. And you'll find our YouTube channel where you'll see all of our podcasts, some different videos, our clinical behind the scenes, and some additional things that we'll be posting there. So make sure that you find our podcast on YouTube. Now, what are we going to be talking about this week? Is we're going to talk about technology and when do you choose to outsource, when do you choose to insource, how do you do it? How do you do a hybridized model of that? How do you leverage technology? I really want to cut through the clutter, because the reason this came up is I was doing one of our mastermind coaching calls in the dentist, and because I have so much intimate knowledge of the practice, the dentist was talking to me about, hey, I think it's time for me to start milling large zirconias with a 5-axis mill. I'm like, yo, hold your horses. It's not really time for that. There's other ways to accomplish this without creating all this complexity in your practice. So this week, what I want to do is kind of walk through my thought process on this, and hopefully, and I'm pretty certain I'll be giving you some new ideas and new ways to look at doing some of these things. So Why don't we get going, Meredith?
Yeah, I think this is, you know, technology is always a hot topic.
It's a never-ending topic, yeah. Frankly.
Well, because I think when you hear about something new, everybody's like, especially dentists, they got to have it, right?
Yeah.
So if they hear you have something, so all the time I get calls and people are like, how are y'all doing this in the office? Pretty much, you know, what is your workflow? Where are you sending this? What are you doing? How are you doing this? Are you doing this in-house? That's probably one of the biggest things, right? Is it worth my time? Is it worth my team's time? So for us to kind of break that down.
Well, let's answer that question. I think at the end of the day, in the end, it is absolutely worth trying to insource nearly everything. One, I want to make that clear. It is absolutely
except
worth insourcing nearly everything. The challenge is, I think, with doing it not in the right order and not taking into consideration where a practice is at, what makes the biggest impact, what the realities of buying technology is really to your practice and to your mental bandwidth. And so I think it needs to be thought. I think we need to be more thoughtful in this. And look, I've made mistakes, but I'm coming to you with 25 years of practical experience and having done this.
Yeah. And I think when you say nearly everything, it's nearly everything that's important to your practice, right? So in your practice, for example, you're doing tons of hybrid, tons of full arch stuff. So bringing all of that in-house is super worth it.
Yep.
For someone who's dabbling, doing one arch here and there every couple
absolutely
of months, it's not worth it. For you who's not doing much ortho or, you know, even 5 to 10 cases a month, it's not worth it. But for someone who's doing 30, 40 cases a month, ortho office, it may be worth bringing that in, even in office.
Having your own ortho lab. Absolutely.
You know? So I think that's important to know. He's not saying nearly everything that you can, but everything that you're really, really focused on. So we'll get right into it and we'll talk about why insource, why outsource.
Yeah. So let's define those first.
Yeah.
Okay. So outsourcing is the traditional model. Outsourcing is, hey, patient comes in, I take an impression, I send it to a laboratory, and they do everything for me, and they send me back a finished product. When I came into dentistry in 1999, literally everything was done this way. You took an impression, you mailed it to your lab, literally mailed it to you. Now that I think about it, you mailed it to your lab.
Yeah.
You mailed it to your lab.
I remember when I started, I was taking impressions. And, well, this wasn't even what I started doing, but I was so excited when I got to the point where I could take impressions and mail them to the lab in a box.
In a box.
And we used to save those boxes so we could reuse them.
And we'd mail them to the lab, and they literally, at some set time interval, would send us back a finished product that we would then place into the patient's mouth. The challenge with outsourcing are a couple of fold. One is, it's honestly the most important part of it, it's time consuming. Okay, there's a time involved of 1 week, 2 week, 3 week, whatever the turnaround time is. There's an organization issue. Like, did it get mailed? Did it get lost? I remember one time I had a 10-unit veneer case get caught up in FedEx, some issue with FedEx, and it didn't show up. They lost it. And then it became this whole ordeal. And back then, there were physical impressions.
Right.
So I had to retake the impression. I mean, it was a nightmare.
Yeah.
Right? And so... so that's one challenge. The other challenge is cost. You know, dentistry, laboratories need to run a business too. They need to make money. There's a cost of them doing business. So, you know, there's a cost of all of this. So the goal to insource should be to reduce all of those things. It's to reduce the confusion. It's to reduce the time. It's to reduce the cost. It's to make it more convenient for the patient. And I think what's often lost in this is the control factor. Now, sometimes there, you know, in the early days of CEREC, this was certainly a big issue with CEREC, was people would say that they're not as good as lab. They look ugly. They don't have any stain or glaze. They look like polished marbles is what I was told they looked like in the early 2000s. That's what they called them. And so the, you know, one thing that can't change with insourcing is the outcome quality, you know, the fit, the function, you know, aesthetics is, you know, that's, you know, the eye of the beholder on that one. But that's the purpose of insourcing, is to reduce cost, to reduce time, to reduce confusion, to gain control of all of this. So that's the purpose of insourcing.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family, T-Bone here.
Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
So I think, you know, when we think insourcing versus outsourcing, we kind of think we have to be all one or the other. Yeah. And really, we can split up the technology that we use into three different parts and insource versus outsource different parts of it, right? So maybe there's like a stepping stone of a way to get there to eventually insourcing it all. So do you want to talk about how to get started on moving things from outsourcing towards insourcing?
Yeah, absolutely. So let me back up for a second. I think probably the no-brainer for nearly every general dentist is to have chairside single visit CAD-CAM dentistry, okay? I think we should all strive for that. But I'm going to give you an example of how you take that process and you break it down. And even what I can, you know, when I started, that was digitization. It was going all the way. There was no, nothing there, okay? So when we look at the CEREC process, which is what we use in our practice, I'm sure there's alternatives out there. But step one is, when you look at a process like that, you got to capture the data. Okay. In other words, you got to take the impression. And that's what we thought CEREC was. In the beginning, CEREC was this all-encompassing thing. But at this point, you got to be able to capture the data. You got to have a digital impression machine. Step two is you have to have the ability, now that we're digitized, to design whatever product that you're trying to create. Whether, you know, back then it was just inlays, onlays, crowns. Then it became implant crowns, then a night guard, surgical guides. It's just, the list goes on and on. And you don't just take an impression and then create a product. There has to be a design of the product in between there. And then the third step is manufacturing said product, okay? So if you guys can, just kind of listen to me here. And really, I'm going to break this down so it kind of sinks in a little bit. On the capture side, there's three technologies you need in capture, okay, that in my opinion, you got to have. And this is what you have to insource immediately. Like step one, if your goal is to insource, is you got to have these three technologies. Number one is a digital camera, not an intraoral camera wand, but a digital camera. Number two, you got to have a digital impression wand or a scanner. These days, these things can be bought for $10,000 to $20,000. And they can be wireless even at this point in time. And so you got to have a digital impression machine. And then number three is you got to have a CBCT, a 3D X-ray. So now once you have these three pieces of equipment, that's step one to insource, is if you don't have those three pieces, you got to get those. Okay, you got to get a digital camera, you got to get a digital impression, and you got to get a CBCT. Now, once you have that, we're ready to go to the next step, and that's design. Now, on the design, if our goal is to do single visit crowns, in other words, single visit, you know, onesie, twosie crowns, you got to get that, you got to insource the design of that. That doesn't make any sense to outsource the design of that at this point in time. Now, there are platforms where you can use artificial intelligence to get a design. What I don't know about those, do you have control of tweaking the design? In other words, do you get the design and it is what it is?
Yeah.
But if you don't have the ability to tweak the design, I've got a problem with that. Okay. Now, looking backwards, That's what I did initially. I insourced my single tooth designs, my onesie twosie designs, and then I outsourced all my other designs. So my night guards, my surgical guides, my large bridges, my anterior cases, my hybrids, all of the my dentures, all of these things were outsourced. Okay. And to this day, many of those things still are outsourced. Okay. So on the design side, there's going to be a chairside software, which is going to be Serica Plan Mech at this point in time. And then there's going to be fancy, what I call fancy lab grade software. And at this point, there's really, in my opinion, there's more choices, but in my opinion, two main choices here. And that's ExoCAD, our preferred, what we're using in our practice, and here at 3D Dentists, and 3Shape. Okay, so that's the design part of it. Then there's the manufacturing side of these things. In other words, how do I produce the actual product that, you know, I give or goes in my patient's head? And there's kind of three things here. I'm going to call it a chairside milling unit. Okay, that's going to be a four-axis speed, a milling unit that's designed to mill a single tooth anywhere from 5 to 12, 13 minutes. That's kind of 5 to 15 minutes is kind of the time frame we need to mill a single unit. There's going to be 3D printing, which is additive manufacturing. And then there's going to be what I call lab grade or lab level larger milling units. And that's 5-axis milling. And to confuse you even more, in the 5-axis milling, there's wet and dry options. Dry options, if you're going to be milling mainly PMMA and zirconia, then you need a dry milling unit. If you plan to mill glass ceramics, then you're going to need a wet milling unit. And they make milling units that do both wet and dry. Now, my belief is in the beginning, you even consider outsourcing the manufacturing of it. So the way this looks to me is, hey, you know what? I'm starting to do fancier dentistry. You know, I need to start insourcing. Step one, I got to insource the capture. There's no choice. Mobile CT units don't make sense. Renting a scanner doesn't make sense. I mean, you got
there are ways you could do it, but they don't make sense.
They don't make sense. You got to insource. You got to have the capture in the practice. Now, what I would do if you say, hey, I've got that stuff, what's the next step for me? What I would say to you then is, then the next step would be, is I would then buy a 3D printer. I would skip the design step and go straight to the manufacture step, because here's what we can do with the 3D printer now. Why the 3D printer? One, it's pretty inexpensive. I think for anywhere between 5 to 10 grand, you can get into 3D printing, and it allows you to print night guards.
I think it's going to be a little bit more than that by the time you factor in like a wash. And
again, there's different options. Sure. So $5,000 to $15,000 gets you all in, because there's lesser expensive products. Yeah. There's SprintRay, which I believe is the gold standard within dental printing. You can print night guards. You can print models to make your suck downs, models to make your whitening trays, models to make your ortho trays. You know how I feel about that currently.
Yep.
You know, we can print surgical guides. You can even print crowns. Although, you know, I'm not fully sold on that at current time. Not for the printing technology, but for my materials perspective. You can print your temporaries. We've gone to printing all of our temporaries in the practice. So I would argue, for me, my part of the practice, I use my printer more than I use my milling units. Okay. Now, if you say, hey, I've got a printer, I would say the next thing would then for me would be a chairside milling unit. Now, I believe that your chairside milling unit needs to be separate and different from your 5-axis milling unit. Can you do chairside milling with 5-axis? Sure. But the whole point of chairside milling is speed, speed, speed. How do I get this done in an hour, hour and 15 minutes? And I'm yet to meet a 5-axis machine that makes it as simple as Serik does to mill a single unit crown in time to get you a 1 hour restoration. So I believe a chairside miller should be separate. And then I would look at Serik or the Plan Mecha machine. I think those are the main options. I'm sure I'm missing something, but I'm sure there's other options out there. And then I would look at a 5-axis milling unit. And I would probably look at something like the VHF E5. We have that in our practice. That's a dry-only machine that allows us to mill PMMA and zirconia. I'm sure it mills more, but that's what we use it for. Or if you're Mac Daddy, you go with something like the VHF R5. We have that one as well. That's a combination wet and dry machine, and it has a 10-puck changer in it. So we can do overnight milling of multiple things. That allows us to do all the dry units, plus now we can do wet glass ceramics. So that's there. Then once I have some level of manufacturing in, then I start looking at the design. And so for us, that was the, take Sarek aside, that was the last piece that we added into our process was the design. We brought the design in, we bought ExoCAD, and that has slowly unlocked the ability for me to do my own cosmetic wax-ups. Now I'm doing my temporary designs. You know, now I'm doing my surgical guides with ExoCAD, ExoPlan. We can do night guards there. We're doing all kinds of things with ExoCAD in our practice. So step one, got to have the capture. Step two, you got to have some way of printing, manufacturing, printing being the easiest, least expensive way to get started. And then you got to have some design. Now, what somebody may be asking is, hey, I bought a capture machine. Now I got a printer. Let's say I can't print anything if there's no design. And the reason I promote SprintRay is because they have their design cloud design platform, which is much of it is driven by artificial intelligence or AI or automated design. And so you can literally put up your three, I'm making this up, three unit bridge impression. You mark your margins, you send it to them, and they'll design it. And 15 minutes later, they'll send you back a file. You click print, and it's all automated. Now, whether you can adjust the design, all of that stuff, that part I don't know, but that's an option there.
Yeah. So I'm going to use you as an example.
Okay.
Because you mentioned this, and I bet a lot of people's jaws dropped, right? When you said all the different things you can insource or outsource in design, and then you said most of these things I'm still outsourcing, yeah. Which I have seen you design every single one of those things, right? So I know that you can do it, but I think it becomes a bandwidth issue.
Yeah.
And that is why people still outsource. And it's okay for people to hear that you're still outsourcing, because I think sometimes they are too, and they're like, oh, I wish I was, we need to be doing this in-house. But there's times and places for everything, right? Another thing is...
Well, it's also, I'm okay at it. I'm not
right.
great at it,
yeah.
right? And so I would rather outsource something that somebody, an expert, can do.
Right, and save chair time of having to redo it or yeah. make adjustments.
Now, what I do get, I want to be clear with everybody, but I want to continue to have these yeah. conversations, is I still get, when I outsource to a designer, I get my ExoCAD file.
Right.
So like when I did your teeth,
yeah,
I got the ExoCAD file.
So you could make any adjustments.
If Meredith said, hey, I want this tooth a little longer, I go to ExoCAD, boom, make it a little longer.
Right.
If Meredith said, hey, this is too square, I can go to ExoCAD and make it rounder. You know, if there's a little camp, I can fix those.
Yeah.
So that's the benefits of knowing how to do all of this stuff and still having the software so I can make adjustments
yeah.
along the way.
And then the other thing that comes along with manufacturing is post-processing.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I don't think doctors think about this because they're typically not the ones doing it, right? But allowing time for your team yep. to have set aside lab, quote unquote, lab time, if they're seeing patients 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, there's no way they can get this lab work done for your larger cases, then it may be worth outsourcing it with their bandwidth and availability.
Yeah, of course.
So I think it's important that bandwidth is brought up because it's not just, and it's also not just the bandwidth of doing the day-to-day cases, but learning the new technology, right? Yeah. Like you have to take days off, come to courses, learn it, do cases, practice.
Well, you know, I think what's also lost in all of this is, it's very easy to buy stuff.
Yeah.
My dad, you know, I'm trying to buy a house right now. My dad goes, it's easy to buy, hard to sell,
yeah.
right?
Right.
And so it's easy to buy technology, and no one, and we've all heard this, and most of us are probably guilty of this. In
right.
some way, we buy a piece of technology and
just
don't use it.
There.
And it's not that we didn't have the intention.
I can't even say how long you had a 3D printer before you used it.
Probably 2 years.
Oh, no, longer than that. You had the Moonray that set up there for... Years.
I had one before that.
Yeah.
I had a Form Labs before
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so it's just, you know, we,
yeah,
we
it,
buy
it comes
stuff
down
with,
to bandwidth.
We buy this stuff with good intention.
Right. And even some stuff we're using, but not to its full potential.
I don't want to get on a soapbox here, but these sales reps often make it, and people like me.
Yeah.
The KOLs.
That's why I love Scott, because he's like, you can't buy this if you're not ready, or you don't have time for this. You know,
and or it's the sales reps or KOLs like me. that we say this is all the stuff. It's like me.
It solves all your problems.
If you come to my office, you'll see all this stuff and you see what we're doing with it. But what you missed was the 25 years it took to get there.
Right.
Or the, you know, let's take five-axis milling of zirconia. The 2 years it took to get where we're at today.
Right.
And how much time and energy and effort and leadership that it took to get there. And I think that's why a lot of people buy technology and it ends up not getting used. It's not because technology isn't good. It's just the technology is right for every practice. Not every practice is right for technology. The other reason I consider outsourcing before I insource is we have a finite amount of money. Okay, so let's take, for example, okay, I could spend, let's just use what I'm doing right now, okay? Let's say I want to mill full arch zirconia restorations. It's about, let's call it 40 grand to get, probably about $50,000 to $60,000 to get into milling full arch zirconia. Mm-hmm. Now, I look at it this way. I said, you know what? That's a 5 to 6 month marketing budget.
Right.
That I would have to make a choice. Am I going to spend $50,000 to $60,000 to buy this? Or am I going to spend $50,000 to $60,000 to market this? And then that marketing brings in the revenue to then pay for everything. And so you got to look at how you leverage and use your money, because we're not just made of money. And this is how offices and dentists get in trouble, is they buy too many monthly payments mm-hmm. without having a plan of action.
Yeah. Right.
Now, I want to kind of talk a little bit about, if it's okay with you.
Yeah.
It's my podcast, I guess.
Right? Sure. Yes.
Thank you for
permission. What if I said no?
Well, I still probably would have. What about a hybrid model of this? And I think this is, well, this is what I'm teaching to dabblers of full arch dentistry. Okay. You can have the best of both worlds. Okay. So again, the capture is non-negotiable.
Right.
I capture the data. Honestly, designing all on X is complicated as hell. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, once you get good at it, it's pretty simple. But I can tell you, going through the process, getting good at it. Not, hey, I've done it one or two times,
right.
But I can do it, and I can do it in 30, 40
minutes.
And it's
predictable, and you don't have to make any adjustments.
Or minimal adjustments.
Waste your time.
You know, that takes time. I outsource that. Now, the challenge comes, hey, I 3D printed, no big deal. Now, the real expense in these full arches is the $4,000 or $5,000 to get the zirconia made. And now I know there are options out there for $2,000, $3,000 to get the zirconia made. But what if you could get that down to $600-$700 by outsourcing that to a milling center instead of a full service laboratory? And that's what I'm trying to, that's what we've, that's one, we can mill it ourselves, so we do that. But before I come on here and I recommend you guys to consider this, for $600, I can send my STL file, my design file, to an outsourced milling center, and they'll send me back a zirconia puck milled and sintered. So it's already done. So I don't have to buy the expensive milling unit. I don't have to buy the 12-hour sintering unit, because a sintering unit and a porcelain oven are not the same thing. Then what I can do is I can take this zirconia puck that I've gotten back already sintered. Okay. Now I can use the same Cerec oven I'm using, and I can paint my staining glaze on there. And that's something that all of us are, if you can paint a single crown, you can paint a arch of 12 crowns.
It might have gingivitis.
It should have gingivitis, but I can do that. And you
the
can
full
use,
arch, I mean.
You can use something like Mio, that's what we're using in our practice currently. We're testing out a new product here soon. And now I can stain and glaze and get complete control of that. And now, instead of $4,000 or $5,000 through a full service laboratory, instead of $2,000 or $3,000 through a, you know, it's full arch only laboratory. Now I can use a milling center, a little bit of my time and expertise, and now I can have a zirconia restoration done in $600-$700 and have it done much faster. And these milling centers are, again, they're designed for speed as well. So they're turning around these zirconias in 2-3 days. And so now I can get it back. And from personal experience, it's a 3-4 hour mill and then a 14 hour sinter. So it's a couple of days for you to get it done in your own in practice lab anyway. So let's extend that to an example that more people can understand. Maybe most of you aren't full arch dentists, but now let's say I'm doing Meredith's teeth. So the same concept, your 10, 10, yeah. not your, yeah, you don't want me to take them all out, do you?
No, I'm just telling people what you did.
10 so veneers, yeah. 4 through 13. I capture it. Hey, I want Meredith to have the best. Could I design them? I could. I chose to have a master designer design the teeth. I send it to him. He literally gets me back the design the next day. Okay. Now I 3D print the temps or whatever it is. But now, you know what? I can outsource to that same milling center. I can outsource your Emacs or your zirconia restorations. And they'll produce the Emacs or zirconia. They'll send it back crystallized or sintered. And then I can stain and glaze them. In Meredith's case, probably just glaze because you want them toilet bowl white. So
typical.
Typical. So then I will stain and glaze them. And now I have these restorations back. And now I can do a three, four, five day turnaround.
Right.
And have more control, have master designs, outsource the milling. And what really starts to happen here is you really start to leverage the world is flat.
Yeah.
My designer happens to be in South America.
Yeah.
My milling center happens to be three states away. You know, and so now I'm not stuck with just using a full service, and there's a value to full service laboratories, don't get me wrong, but I think, you know, they also have to recognize how the industry is changing and the pressures that we dentists feel. Because then we put the pressure on them. They're down chain. You know, they're not going direct to the patient. They're dependent on us. So that's kind of give you guys an idea. I hope I didn't go all over the place.
Yeah, no, today. I think the summary of that is it's okay to have a hybrid model of insourcing and outsourcing.
Yeah.
And it's okay.
It's smart
based on how busy you are and how the practice is going to insource and outsource and go back and forth between the two.
Yeah,
you know?
We could.
Like, hey, we're not super busy. We're going to design our night guards in-house. We know how to do it.
Yep.
No problem. Hey, we're super busy for the time being. Let's send out all of our night guards. Let's not mess with it. So I think for people to hear that it's okay to go back and forth is a good way to think about it. And I think you've set a model where people can figure out kind of where they're at and what's the next step.
Well, I want to leave you guys with this message. The purpose of technology. Technology should drive down patient costs. It should increase case acceptance. It should decrease the amount of time it takes to get started and the amount of time it takes to get finished. And it should increase practice profits. It has to do all of those things for technology to be successful in the modern day dental practice. You know, it's a different world. When I started with CEREC crowns, all ceramic crowns for the labs were $250. It made a lot of sense to bring that in-house once you got to the 10-unit number. Now, where full-service laboratories will send you back a restoration for $79, it's a harder sell, so you have to start leveraging the time. You got to leverage the case acceptance. You got to leverage the convenience of all of these things and put a value to that in your practice. So, look, technology isn't going anywhere. It's only getting more important and it's getting more complicated. But in terms of the complexities of the type of dentistry it can do. So understand, when is the right time for you to insource? What parts of the process should you insource? And understand there's multiple parts to each process that you will insource over time. And then over time, the next thing you know, you'll look up and you have a full service practice lab in your practice where you outsource minimal amount of things or really specialized things. And that's where we've gotten. Look, at 3D Dentists, we'd love to help you grow your practice. If you're feeling the pressures of everything that's going on, you're like, man, my top line revenue is higher, which we should all be seeing over the last few years. But my bottom line, my accountants tell me I'm making a little bit less money or I feel like I'm making less money. Then I can tell you the fastest way to increase revenue is to invest in your clinical skills. Whether that's sleep apnea, orthodontics, dental implants, endodontics, you know, treatment planning, communication, invest in yourself. Our family, my dad and you know, everybody, we've made our entire living in this country by always betting on ourselves and investing in ourselves. So I want you to do the same. And when you look at investing in yourself, please consider 3D Dentists. My kids would appreciate it. I'd appreciate it. I'd love to meet you. And we'd love to help you get on your journey to taking control of your practice, your finances, and your future. Have a great day. We'll see you next week.